sudden fears come, neither when the trouble of the wicked. I want you to know somebody is after you right now. Somebody is even on their knees praying for your downfall. Somebody has decided that you are a false teacher and a false prophet. Somebody has decided that you are a counterfeit Christian. Somebody is envious of what you have. They're coveting what you have, not realizing that whatever God has for you, it's for you, and whatever God has for them is for them. But their fears have kept them away from the things that God has for them. How, what about you this morning? I need you to understand the Bible says that we need to be careful and realize. Huh, come on, somebody. He says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. I didn't give you that, God said. That is the place where the enemy operates. He says, I have given you the spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. Love, come on, unconditional love, the agape love, the love that'll love anything, love anybody, the kind of love that even before somebody does something to you, you've already forgiven them, because it's not of you, it is what that part of God that is resting in you by way of the Holy Spirit. So you don't wait to see what they say and what they do. You have already, you're waiting on somebody to come on. You're waiting on somebody to forgive, because it's not of you. You're not the same. You don't walk like you used to. You are appreciative that God has made you a part, 1 Peter 1:9, a part of the royal priesthood. Come on, a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, and all God
me to just be still. But it's
well, saints of God, our time is up. This has been Pastor Charles Simon of New Life Christian Fellowship Ministries of Alexandria, Louisiana. We're located at 4521 Lee Street Extension. Thank you for listening, and if you want a copy of this message, or if you want to support this ministry with a tax-deductible contribution, write us at Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Again, that's Post Office Box 5791, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. And if you need prayer, call us at 318-715-8920, 318-715-8920. Be blessed of the Lord, for God is still on the throne.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege now of hearing your word. Let the Holy Ghost do in the text as only he can do. Let him tell the truth so that every hearer's heart might not only hear but heed your word. Then give us power to practice these principles. We'd be ever so careful to give you the praise as you profit us from them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to take our text from a very, very familiar word found in Matthew's gospel account, chapter 7 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, recorded are these words. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. This word has been noted and known as the golden rule. And yet, it is one of the most misunderstood words in the New Testament, because the focus for many on this golden rule is how you should be treated as opposed to how you should treat. And so oftentimes when folk quote this, it is always in defense of how they feel they should be treated, as opposed to the record that Jesus Christ himself gives to not only those who were listening to him on what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, when he taught this lesson to the multitudes. There are so many things that he says and he deals with in these 12 verses. If you'll note, and if you have time to read through, you can walk through them and you'll see that he's talking about judging. He's talking about fault finding. He's talking about mote hunting. He's talking about dispensing holy things. He's talking about parental responsibility. And in fact, it's the sum of the law and the prophets. And when you recognize this, Jesus is giving to us the understanding of why this rule truly is golden. Well, I want you to look at this, if you will, and understand it again. Let me read it again, if you will. It says, therefore, all things, whatsoever ye would men that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Let's look at it a little bit, because many of us don't recognize that this is a word that has not to do with you being saved, but rather the manifestation of your salvation. And once you are saved, then there ought to just be some changes in your life that will reflect the fact that you've been saved. The world's objective in this ruling is somewhat twisted, because it's almost do unto others before they do unto you. And yet for the believer, it is that we should do unto others as we would, or as men should do to us. So there are some things we're going to straighten out in this thinking, so that we'll be helped in the process and understand that we don't have a right, even when folk don't treat us right, to treat them like they treat us. We're going to discover that God holds us to a higher standard. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what folks say about you, no matter what they throw at you, you do not have the right to fling it back at them again. So look at this word, because I want you to see this. First of all, I want to look at the essence of the rule. The essence of the rule. This is the identifying of something that makes it essential, and this is what we're talking about. It makes it what it is. Let's look at the essence of the rule. What does he say in this word? Because first of all, you realize that this word, it really comes with the second tablet. The first tablet that was given had to do with man's relationship with God. The second tablet, and what we know as the Ten Commandments, had to do with man's relationship with man. And so some of the things you've got to recognize is the essence of the rule. This rule summarizes the second table or tablet, if you will. And it's important for you to understand the rule does not say to treat others as they treat you, but to treat others as you would have them to treat you. In other words, if somebody's treating you bad, you don't, we're not under the Old Testament and Old Covenant where it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, you've heard in old times, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. He said, but I have a new saying now. And so what Jesus wants us to understand is it's not just the laws of old, but it is the spirit of grace that he introduces to the New Testament and to the new believer to understand it ought not be about getting even. It ought not be about paying somebody back. It ought not be about reopening old wounds so that you can feel better because they killed your cat, so you're going to kill their dog. It ought not be about the flesh, but rather about the spirit. And so when you begin to recognize this, it's all in getting us to understand, I don't want to treat folk the way I've been treated. If I've been treated unfairly, if I've been treated wrongly, if I've been treated ungodly, I don't want to treat them the same way they've treated me, because nothing from nothing. That ain't in the Bible, but you know that, don't you? And so all I do is give back to them what they gave to me, and it is a situation of an ongoing bad situation, never ending, because no one knows how to get out of the vicious cycle. Yeah. Jesus is saying, listen, you need to understand the essence of the rule. It's not about how folk treat you, but how you should treat them as an example of how you want to be treated. So you got somebody hollering and screaming, and you're like, you don't really take all of that. So the way you prove that is you speak with a controlled tone. You don't get no attitude, because you don't really want them to have an attitude with you. You don't roll your eyes and lift your eyebrows, wiggle your head and roll your neck, because that's not what you want them to do to you. So what it is you literally present before them the image you want them to get. So they're acting foolish, but you're not foolish, so you're not gonna act foolish. You're gonna act like a wise person and give to them the example that you want them to follow. And listen at this, folk see you and they recognize what you do a whole lot more than listening to you and what you say. So if you want things to change, show them how the change ought to be. If you want someone to speak to you with respect and they're speaking to you disrespectfully, then disrespectfully speaking back to them is not going to show them how to speak to you respectfully. Nothing shows a disrespectful person how respect ought to be given than when it's given to them and they don't deserve it. Somebody's not hearing me here. And so when you begin to speak respectfully to those who disrespectfully speak to you, you are giving them an example of how it ought to be done. And you have a right then to demand. You have a right then to expect someone to speak or deal or handle you, not the way they treated you, but the way you showed them as an example you want to be treated. So you got to recognize that some things you got to be big enough to do first. Somebody didn't get that. Sometimes you've got to be bigger than the person you're dealing with to show the person you're dealing with how to be big. Anybody can belittle anybody because you have to belittle to belittle. But when you want to be bigger, you're going to have to do things a little bit differently. And so when you begin to recognize that, that's the essence of the rule. But I want to take you to the equity of the rule, because there are some other things here that we see. Equity, this is a rule that's considered a very fair rule. Of course, it means to deal with fairness and justly. Okay, and so in this justness that we deal with, in this equity of the rule, there are some things you want to recognize. First of all, that you treat everybody the same. Because the essence is that you are not in a prejudiced kind of attitude or mold or dealings. You treat everybody the way you want them to treat you. So you speak to children with respect. You treat your peers with respect. You treat the elderly with respect. You treat your friends with respect. You treat your family with respect. You treat your mate with respect. You even treat your enemy with respect, because it's not about them as much as it is about you. You are setting the example that Jesus wants you to set, and you are showing them how it ought to be done. Because here's the truth, many folk don't really know how it ought to be done. You don't know what folk grew up with. You don't know their training. You don't know their background. You don't understand what they've been through. You don't know how they've been dealt with. Some people, that's their way of life.
Yeah.
That's their way of life. Some people, you've just got to know. You've got to know. Because you've got some folk who are just loud. What you want? Wait a minute, hold up. Hold up. Hold up. I didn't talk to you like that. Now, then, see, that was, well, like talk to you like what? That's just how they are. Some people are just rough like that. You got to know them. Then you got some folk who just, well, I just said, you know, I'm sorry, it's okay. What? You know, you got to realize we're individuals, we're different, but here again, it doesn't matter whether they are the boisterous type or they're the soft-spoken type. When you speak to them, and you've got to again give them, and you know, again, it's about how you show, how you share, and how you handle those same kinds of people.
Right.
It's easy to love folk who love you. Jesus said, you ain't doing no big thing there. But I want to challenge it. Love somebody you know can't stand you. Love somebody you know who has been talking about you, hanging your name on court. Love somebody who treats you wrong, sets you up, puts you in a place where they can do you. And love them kind of people, and then you're really loving somebody. You're not doing no big thing by treating folk like they treat you, even if they love. Do you love me? Do you love me?
Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, you know, real love, true love, listen at this. John picks this up, and I love this, because he says, I love him, God, because he first. When I was unlovable, I didn't even love myself. He showed me how to love, and because he showed me how to love, I can love him in return. See, sometimes you just got to love folk first. Touch your neighbor and say, it's all right to love first. Here's why it's all right to love first, because listen, you have got to have love to show love, and you don't have a problem showing it when you got it. There ought to be some sign by the redeemed here. You got to realize some people don't know how to show it because they don't possess it. I've watched people's lives change by example. And some people change because they see the example, and you don't even recognize that they want a better way. They want a higher way. They want a way that will take them to new places. And maybe they may not say to you, listen, I like that. But you will see it being duplicated. You'll see it being reciprocated. You'll see it happening. And literally, you'll see you coming out of them. And some folk don't want you to know, I like that. You know, when folk really see something that they really like, and they don't want to tell you they like it, they go try and buy it. And they don't want to wear it around you because, you know, they'd have to admit they liked yours so much they had to have one of them. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But when you lead by example, you give more opportunity for folk to follow by showing and not just saying. It has to be equity in the rule. It has to be no hypocrisy. You can't be hypocritical. You can't talk to some folk good and then talk to other folk bad. You can't talk to the elevated, escalated, upper echelon, the haves, like they are all God's best. And then talk to the man on the street that you're trying to win to Jesus, or talk to the brother who can't afford to pay anything and who's looking for something like they're nobody. It's got to be equitable, because they are God's creation. Some may fare better than others, but they're still God's creation. When you talk to them, you better be mindful that God is listening to you, because He is going to bring it back up again. You cannot be hypocritical. You can't even, some folk are hypocritical to their own detriment. They'll treat other folk good and treat their families bad. They won't straighten your children out while their children are on their way to hell. They want to condemn and judge your child, but they act like they don't see what their children are doing.
Yes, sir.
No, it must be equitable. Can't be hypocritical. It has to be balanced. Listen at this, because when we look at this word, it's something else that's in this equity rule. The golden rule is not emphasizing the rights of the people of God, but rather the responsibility of the people of God. Look at this word again. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. It's not lifting up what most of us embrace in the text, and that's the golden rights, but it emphasizes the golden rule. It's not about focusing on folk treating you right, but it's focusing more of your responsibility to treat other folk right. See, God's gonna judge you not on how other folk treat you, but how you treat other folk. My pastor used to say all the time, it's not how you treat me that's gonna keep me out of heaven, but it's how I treat you that can keep me out of heaven. And so you got to recognize, too many of us focus on the golden rights of how you ought to treat me right because the Lord said, but since you don't, then I can treat you the same way, because it is the rule. Yeah. Do unto others as you would have them do, but since you're doing me bad, I can do you bad. No, the record never gives you the ability or the warranty or the opportunity to treat them bad because they treat you bad. Here is your responsibility. Do them like you want to be done. Everything in our society has now become a bill of rights. Everybody's got rights. This group has got their rights. Everybody's got rights, 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 rights. It's all focused on them and their rights. But this word is not about your rights. It's about your responsibilities. U.S. Human Rights Law, the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, which protects the human rights of our citizens, is filled with those things that we are protected by as rights. But the Word of God far exceeds the rights, because in those Bill of Rights, listen at this, it doesn't tell you what your responsibilities are. It's a selfish, inward look. It's all about me. What you gonna do for me? But here, this golden rule is what you're gonna do for others. See, Jesus had a transforming word. It was a radical word. I mean, if those folk thought he was going to come just to pat them on the back, make them feel good, and make their lifestyle of that caters and serves them, they were in for a rude awakening. And for any of you here today who are thinking this is what it ought to be about and this is what the golden rule is about, is again in for a rude awakening. It is not about you and your rights, but rather you and your responsibilities to do right.
Yes,
listen at this, because I want you to see the next point. We want to talk about the extent of this rule, because we've already talked about the essence of the rule. We've already talked about the equity of the rule, but now we want to talk about the extent of the rule. Look at what it starts off saying in this 12th verse. Therefore, all things, and it does not limit, as the choir sounds, no limit. Listen, in that song, it does not limit to any certain area or arena or avenue, no certain color, creed, culture, or concern. It says, again, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. When you begin to recognize that this rule covers a wide area of application as it relates to your conduct. It's supposed to be that way on the job. Somebody say, oh Lord. you can't just sit here and be holy on Sunday and Monday morning you lose your holiness. You no longer have the privilege like some of the old saints who did not have the benefit of full disclosure and understanding, who used to lay down their religion and give you a piece of their mind, and when they were through, pick it up like a robe and say, now, where was I? It doesn't work that way. This application applies not just to the job, it applies to the home. So many saints can perform on Sunday. And can't follow through in their own homes through the week. It ought to be real there first. And from there, it ought to be extended outward. It goes further than that. It ought to apply at school.
Yes, sir.
With your professors, with your teachers, with your fellow students, with your faculty, with the workers and others who are part of your circle. It ought to extend there, outside of the church, beyond the confines of these four walls. It ought to apply at church. Now, I'm going to tell you something you might not know. But everybody in church don't act saved. I know you don't believe that. But I'm talking about folk who are in position. I ain't just talking about folk who are sitting in the pew. And if you look at one eye and their eyes are a little twisted, that they're probably one that I'm talking about. Because if you don't honor God and can't apply this word in God's house, how can you pretend to apply it anywhere else? If you can't love your brothers and sisters in the house of God, if you can't be real in the house of, if you can't love in the house of, if you can't help in the house of God, if you can't look beyond in the house of God, if you can't reach down in the house of God, if you can't show folk love across the whole realm, then how can you pretend to do it anywhere else? Can you say you love your brother whom you see every day and hate, say you love God and hate your brother whom you see every day? The Bible says you are a liar. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pity my, and look at you in Rome. The Bible says you are a liar and the truth is not in you. How you gonna talk about your brother or sister? Child, look at her, there she go right there. Huh. By
Bible says if you've got something against your brother or your sister, you don't need to hunt somebody else, write no note to somebody else, whisper something. You need to go to them and say, sister, this is not this. This is not that. Or whatever the issue is.